Thank you so much, David, for reading that for us. If you've got your Bibles open, keep it open, and let's go through this passage together. Now, let me just start with showing you a photo of some... Here we go. What's happening? There we go. Camels! Lovely photo of camels. This was taken by the National Geographic back in 2005. What color are the camels? Oh, some of you have seen this before, haven't you? White or black? White, isn't it? Because if you look closely, the black are their shadows. This is a top-down view. It's a bit of an optical illusion, which is why it went viral back in 2005. And brilliant reminder of how easy it is to mistake a shadow for the real thing. And Paul says here in Colossians 2, that's what's happening among the Christians in Colossae. People were being distracted by shadows. Good-looking, religious-sounding, spiritually impressive shadows, but they weren't Christ. We read from verse 17. They were distracted by shadows. These are the shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. David read through the passage for us, and you might have seen that they were tempted, these Colossians, to believe in various things. They were missing something particular. People were coming from outside and telling them, oh, you need more. Jesus, he's good, but he's not enough. You need to, if you're a real follower of Jesus, follow certain food laws. You need certain religious festivals. You need spiritual experiences beyond what you've already had. Paul is writing to say here, if you have Christ, you already have everything. You are already complete as a Christian. But that's the thing about good false teaching. They all sound sort of right and believable. And now, if you've always aspired to peddle lies, I'm going to give you three tips now on how to make it as a false teacher. How to rein in the gullible. Now, if you're someone of who likes to take notes during sermons, maybe don't look so eager right now. But three tips, I believe, on the most successful things that false teachers do. What do they do with their false teaching? Well, firstly, they bring false teaching that is fresh and new. That's what people want, right? People are always looking for something new. Let's not go on about the gospel all the time. The cross, we've got to go beyond that. There's more to be had. You've got something novel, something cutting edge, something exciting, because the gospel by itself isn't actually enough. We need to modernize it for our world now. Our world has changed. Our culture has changed. We can't be so conservative anymore. That's the first point. Good false teaching brings fresh and new insight. Second thing I think is this. You want to ask people to do what they want to do anyway. Why ask people to change? Just tell them they're okay the way they are right now. You do you. Don't change their mind at all. It's easier if you don't change their mind. The best false teaching just calls people to do what everyone else around them is doing. Swimming against the tide, that's too hard. Let's just be like everyone else. Number three, good false teaching has enough truth in it to sound true. Now, maybe when I'm talking about false teaching, what is happening in your mind is gospel minus teaching. Let me tell you the two types of false teaching, both very dangerous, but one far more effective. Maybe you're thinking of gospel minus false teaching. These are the ones that take away from the gospel minus. So, for example, Jesus, he actually isn't really God. That's gospel minus false teaching. That's taking away his divinity. And we saw from term one, didn't we? As we went through John's gospel, very, very obvious. Either Jesus is a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is actually who he says he is. He's the Lord. That's gospel minus false teaching. The thing about gospel minus false teaching, it's very obvious to us. All of us, I would think here, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lord. You can't ignore him. That's all good. But the more effective one, I believe, is gospel plus false teaching. That one's a bit trickier because there's always an element of the truth here. They're not trying to deny Jesus' divinity or anything. They sound sort of right. They're half-truths. And so that's why they're so dangerous. They're believable. For example, Jesus saves. But you've also got to keep these other food laws if you want to be one of Jesus' people. God's word is absolutely sufficient for all matters pertaining to life and godliness, but you're not complete until you've had a special word from God. The cross is enough. But good works might help you get there a bit better. Every one of those false gospels has one thing in common. They whisper, Jesus is not enough. And so let's take a quick look at what false teachings were promoted among the Colossians. We'll see three in particular in our passage today. There'll be more in the following weeks, but three that are majored on here. The first one they had was gospel plus rules. We start looking at verse 16 and we see this here. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. And that is, to be a Christian, you must not contaminate yourself with the outside world. That's what people are saying to the Colossian Christians, which means you don't eat or drink particular things. And not exactly sure, back in the first century early church there, what they were being told not to eat or drink. If we had to guess, it was probably meat and wine. Those things, you don't touch them. If you're a real Christian, you don't touch those things. But was that actually something God wanted them to avoid? You look through the scriptures, and you see, this is a half-truth, isn't it? Yes, God wanted his people Israel, back in the Old Testament, to avoid certain foods. They were a sign to set them apart for God. That's why they wouldn't eat pig and bacon, some of the best food in the world, really. Avoid that. That's how we set ourselves apart from God. But of course, even back then, they understood that wasn't what made them holy. That was just a symbol of what was to come. They are set apart as God's people because what goes into your mouth obviously doesn't affect your standing before God. They knew that. Moses knew that. For example, Hitler was a vegetarian, wasn't he? He didn't drink alcohol. He didn't smoke. But do those things make him more godly? Of course not. Moral looking doesn't mean spiritual, doesn't mean righteous. And when Jesus came, he made it very obvious. The way we are to be set apart now from the rest of the people, to be different from everyone else, is to trust Jesus. And keep the food laws still? No, actually. You might remember Mark chapter 7. He declared all foods clean. It's not about food, it's about me, said Jesus. But these false teachers are suggesting this. No. You have to trust Jesus and keep these rules. The problem is gospel plus empties the gospel of its true power. Take a look at verse 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religionism and asceticism and severity to the body. But they are of no value, not even some value, no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Paul says that's just self-made religion. You're starving yourself, doesn't work. There's plenty of people in the name of Christ who have starved themselves nearly to death. Of course, we said that if you starve yourself enough, you will meet God, won't you? But that's not the way to connect yourself to God. Jesus has already done that. He's done that through the cross. These rituals, these self-made asceticism, that taking off of the body that Christ actually died for. Looks wise, feels spiritual, but it can't change the heart. Gospel plus rules. The second one is this, gospel plus tradition. And that's in the second half of verse 16. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon, or Sabbath. And those were festivals that the Jews kept. The Colossians were told, to be Christian, yes, it's all good that you have Christ, but you still need to observe the Jewish calendar. The Jews had a ton of festivals they observed, again, to set themselves out as part of God's people. The problem is when festivals take over, why the festivals were there in the first place. Now, it's kind of like celebrating a big birthday party and forgetting who the birthday kid is. Or as ridiculous as making a big deal out of Easter and Christmas, but not letting Jesus make any difference for the rest of the year. Why is that a problem? Well, because all these food laws, these religious festivals that Israel kept, they're just shadows. They're a preview of the reality to come. I love having photos of my family members on my phone, and right now I've got a photo of Izzy there. She's sporting some new glasses. If you didn't catch that, make sure you mention that to her. She would really appreciate you commenting on her new glasses. Unfortunately, she's got mum and dad's jeans, and we're absolutely blind, so I think all of them are going to end up with glasses, even Zoe soon. But, you know, that's a photo that I look at while I'm away from them. I can remember them. I can even dote on them, looking at my phone now and then. But the moment that I'm sitting next to Izzy talking in front of her, wouldn't it be strange? Actually, wouldn't it even be wrong if I'm sitting there at the dinner table looking at my phone going, oh, what a beautiful girl she is. What a chubby little face, beautiful smile. No, wait, I'm just spending time with this photo here, Izzy. What a lovely picture this. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it? Well, these false teachers influencing the Colossians were doing exactly that. They were confusing the shadow with the reality. The thing that is pointing to the real thing with the real thing. Gospel plus teaching takes your focus off Christ. Keeping Jewish or Anglican festivals, holy days without Jesus is like celebrating Christmas without Christ or hugging a photo of your daughter while ignoring her in the room. The photo is good, but only because it points to her. Gospel plus tradition yells, you have to follow the calendar. This is the liturgy. Paul says, those are just shadows. You've got the substance now. Why do you want the shadows? The third false teaching they were dealing with, we see in verse 18. Gospel plus special spiritual experiences. Verse 18 says this, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. Going on in detail about visions, that is going on about receiving special words from God, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. You might think, you know, worship of angels, that doesn't happen too much in Christian circles, but until you realize there are plenty of pseudo-Christian faiths that do this, that is worshiping and appealing to special messengers from God. That's what angels are. Plenty of people in the name of Christ do that. They'll say, actually, you can't go to God directly through Christ, you need to go through his mother as well. Priests, they're good. They can put in a good word for you. I don't know how many times I've been asked, could you please, Ez, pray to God because God will hear your prayers better. No, you have Jesus. You don't want middlemen. All of us have been frustrated by calls to our telecommunications company, of government agencies where you're stuck in middleman after middleman after middleman after middleman. You don't need any of those. You have Christ. You go directly to Christ. In regards to visions, there's plenty of Christians who pray for visions, always seeking a new word from God, a specific word from God. Well, what does Paul say about these people who are distracted by all these things? Well, verse 19, they are not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. And here, that head is talking about Jesus. They're not holding fast to it. Have you had a vision? Have you spoken to angels? Well, Paul says, if you're not holding on to Jesus, you've lost your heads. Literally, that's what it's saying there in the original language. You've lost your head. The head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a part of the problem with gospel plus teaching. They end up distracting you from Christ. And the end of it, actually, is that they disconnect you from Christ. That's how dangerous they are. Paul reveals these half-truths as the hollow lies they really are. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. All these false teachings, all these distractions are telling you, here's how you make things right with God. Here's how you can better your relationship with God. But Paul says, you don't need to. God has already done that. And let me show you. Verse 13, this is the one true gospel. Verse 13 to 15. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. He's done it. Having forgiven us all our trespasses, how did he do this? By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. The picture Paul is giving here is that there was only one way to connect you to God, and that is by wiping out your debt, cancelling your record of debt. Now, what's a record of debt? We used to use these now back then. I don't think anyone does this nowadays, but a record of debt is this, isn't it? This is an IOU, isn't it? I don't remember the last time I used an IOU. It's probably when I was trying to scab money from a friend during high school or something, 20 bucks for lunch or something. But I want some lunch today. Ben, you mind borrowing me 20 bucks? Just asking for 20 bucks. Of course, back then, 50 cents could get you a sausage roll, but 20 bucks is more like it nowadays. But there you go. That's my IOU. Thank you very much. $20. Now, that is proof, isn't it? Proof that I have a debt. And as long as he holds that, I'll spend this, but at some point he's going to come back to me and say, Ez, you need to treat your student ministers properly. Pay me back, and I'll be obligated to. And if I don't, he'll go to the authorities. He'll go to Jim and say, Ez isn't treating me well. He owes me 20 bucks. I want my 20 bucks. The IOU is a record of debt, a legal record of the fact that you owe. Of course, with God, it's much more than 20 bucks, isn't it? I've heard it said that if you were 20 years old and you counted all your sins and they wrote them on an A4 paper one by one and stacked them on top of each other, that stack would reach to the moon and back. And that's only if you're 20 years old, and I think most of us here are older than 20 years old, right? That's scary, isn't it? That's what is against us. But on the cross, this is what Jesus did. Go ahead, Ben. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. Oh, I'll give you this back. No more debt. No more guilt. No more shame. God didn't ask us to pay it back either. We couldn't pay it back. No amount of food laws, church traditions, spiritual experience could ever connect us more to God. The cross has already done that. Christ is enough. Brothers and sisters, you don't need food laws to be complete. I'm aware there are many other denominations that will tell you, oh, you've got to make sure you keep the Sabbath still. You've got these food laws to keep. We don't eat meat. We don't do blood transfusions. We don't. And we do this. You've got to do this. You've got to have communion. You've got to wear the special clothes. There's so much out there, but they're all just distractions. You don't know those rituals to be complete. You don't need new revelations. You don't need to prove yourself. Christ is enough. He's already done it on the cross. Your sins were nailed to that cross, even 2,000 years ago. So don't chase shadows. Don't let anyone convince you that you need more. You have Jesus, and when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Let me pray for us, that we might fix our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Jesus.